Blog Talk Radio.
Is not illegal in this country, and it's declared war
are one's own soldiers is not legal in the United States. And so it's not an illegal activity. And if I have anything to do with it, it will remain an illegal activity. And I'm advocating for those responsible for such acts to be criminally prosecuted so that we can cease these activities in the United States of America. Certainly, and the young lady's name is Charisse Moore. Charisse Moore is her name. Certainly, in talking with her, I have discovered that these activities are taking place all over our country. And I believe the key is to expose these activities, expose them so that we can get a handle on what's taking place, create laws to outlaw them, and then bring the victims forward so that they can get their stories out and, of course, ultimately be compensated for the wrongs that have been done to them. And so I'm waiting on Charisse to call in. Hopefully she can call in to the broadcast and tell you her story. Let me get to the studio wall here for the podcast, and maybe that's the problem. I'm not at the studio wall as of yet. Just one moment. Yes, but that is what we want to do in getting this story out. We want to expose it. There are things that are going on that are harmful to victims, and people are suffering, and they don't know why. And I have a story just from this morning when there was a heavy chemical disbursement where I was this morning, heavy, and I'm getting to my studio wall right now. Getting to my studio, and then there was very hot air that was coming down, and then I started to feel sick in my chest again. I felt chest pain. So what we want to do, what I want to do is continue to expose these practices. I don't think I see a guest call in yet, but if you want to call into this broadcast, you can call 515-605-9793. The call-in number is 515-605-9793. And so this is an ongoing practice on the part of our government and our military. Very dangerous, and especially for those that are frail and those that are feeble that walk among us. I have to say that the elderly, as always, are more vulnerable when these particular conditions exist than younger people. But what I want to do more to do with Jesus Hope in as of yet is talk about the directed energy attack that exists. Now, I've talked about this before, and as a civilian, of course, I don't have the professional vernacular to talk about what the directed energy attacks are. I liken them to the Geico commercial where the computer robot is sitting at the table, and these beams come from his eyes and destroy his computer. In fact, split his computer in two because his computer is giving him problems. He looks over to the girl, I think it's someone sitting next to him drinking coffee, and he asks her, "Is this right?" or something, something. And then he gets angry and uses these beams to destroy his computer. Now, that is my understanding of directed energy attacks. I understand from my basic experience that directed energy attacks can take place from any lighting source. And I've been there, and I've done that, and I've experienced it. And I say even a candle
can be used to exact direct energy attack. Why? Because I've tried everything. And so what I want to do on this podcast today, setting the record straight, is give you a background of what I have been experiencing, and hopefully get some factual support from Miss Moore, who's a military soldier. I'm waiting on her call in. I'm waiting on her to come into the program. She is the reason why I'm, in fact, doing this on Setting the Record Straight. And I'm glad to be back to Setting the Record Straight because I haven't been back in this studio for some time. I'm looking at the studio. I'm so happy to be back in this studio and streaming live here on Blog Talk Radio. And so I'm waiting on her to come in. I would just like to say, you know, if anyone wants to call in, you're waiting for her to call in. I do think that there is some of the very different things than what we thought existed here in the United States. I mean, I've often talked about the hot lighting that has existed. And I'm not talking about anything strange. I'm talking about your normal day-to-day lighting, street lights, lamps. Like I said, even a candle can be harmful. And the thing that makes it harmful is the chemicals that are present. And that's when the harmful effects can be felt and can be triggered when the chemicals are present. Like this morning, there's a very heavy chemical dispersement in the air this morning. And today is very difficult to breathe for me. I feel a pressure on my chest. And if that is when your electronic devices become more and more difficult to handle because they emit a light which is hot and which mixes with the chemical presence. And it produces a negative, harmful impact on your body, on your heart, on your bones, on your brain, and you're not even aware of it. It is something that you don't know what's going on, and you may even start sneezing with an allergic reaction to the chemicals. This is something I've endured for many, many years. I have posted the videos on Instagram. I've posted the videos on Facebook. I have posted the videos on Twitter. And I have done all I can. I have been on Anchor FM with my show, The Political Strategist, talking about these incidents. I have been on this podcast right here, Setting the Record Straight on Blog Talk Radio, talking about these very, 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 very hurtful events. Now, I do see a caller, and so I'm going to continue to hold caller, because I'm going to bring you in and put on your mic. Hold on just a moment. Hello, caller? Caller?
Hi.
Your name, caller?
My name is Lauren Birch.
I'm sorry? Hello?
I was just given the number by Cherie. She's from Detroit. I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but I was just going to listen in for now. She asked me to join the call with her, I think at 12 today, to talk with the senator about what.
Yes. You're calling in. And so you're calling in to support Ms. Moore?
Or I'm sorry?
Your own testimony about government gang stalking?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, ma'am. What did you say?
Do you have your own testimony or story about government gang stalking? Or are you supporting us more?
I have so many stories. I don't even know where to start with mine. But, I do. I have many.
When did you become I was going to ask Ms. Moore the same thing, even though she and I have talked, privately. But when did you discover that you were a victim and how? How was it that you discovered it?
So I think that actually I had been in this a little bit longer than what I initially realized. So there was a number of things that was taking place that was unexplained to me, and they just, you know, certain things just didn't add up, if you know what I mean. And so there was just like one event after another, and I started paying attention to what the things were that didn't make particular sense to me. Like I would have to have medical procedures that when I would wake up, at least from one of those, I was told that I had like a 70% blockage in my aortic valve, which is the main valve to your heart. And right. I was told that I would need to have that 70% blockage removed. And so what that entailed was having this right side of my groin cut so that they could put the light in through my groin and go up through my heart to unblock this blockage. But when I woke up from the procedure, I had a nurse standing beside my bed who told me, she said, "Miss Lauren, you don't have a blockage." And I just looked at her because none of it made sense to me. I don't know how you go from zero blockage to 70% blockage back down to zero blockage in just a matter of minutes. So I actually had a procedure that did not make any sense. And I think at that time is when I was actually implanted. I think that was one of the times. And so the more recent event was I got shot in October with 5 bullets in my left leg that traveled from one leg to the other, leaving 15 holes between the two legs. And the perpetrator has never, I've never learned anything from the investigator, whom which I never had a call from. I had to call him to find out the little bit of information that I did receive. And I stayed in the hospital, and you know, usually when you get shot, the investigator comes to you and asks you a lot of questions about your shooting, what you know, what you don't know, what have you. And nobody ever came to my bedside while in the hospital for over a month to ask me any questions. Wow. And, yeah, and so I'm still wearing these bullets. And at the time that I was in the hospital, the first hospital actually put me out of the hospital on the curb, literally out in the driveway or the parking lot of the hospital, left me there in the wheelchair by myself as I sat there for several hours with barely any clothing on. And they didn't like the fact, or this is what they told somebody, the fact that I was being interviewed by a person who was another TI, who has a YouTube video website, and she wanted to put me on her site, you know, and people were asking questions about what happened. I'm sorry?
You said they actually told you that.
Told me what now?
That they didn't like the fact that you were being interviewed by another TI.
No, they didn't tell me that. They told somebody that knows me that I was communicating with.
Okay.
Who also was communicating with the hospital, because it was just a whole lot of things going on. They had a team of doctors come in to try to make me look like I was mental. So they did a mental evaluation, you know, and all of that. So that was what their, I guess, quote unquote, stronghold on me, because they were setting me up to make it look like I had some mental issues. But the fact remains is the hospital put me out of the hospital on the curb. Now, who's mental, me or them? They left me out there with an open gash. I mean, when I say my leg was open like a butterfly, they cut me on both sides of my shin, supposedly taking the 5 bullets out, but they didn't. So they're still supposed to be implanted. Now, they told me that they were going to take them out, but they gave me an alias name during the whole time of my stay, being in the hospital. They were calling me some other name, which I was not that person, still is not that person. My name is Lauren Michelle Birch. They gave me this alias name. They wanted me to have a procedure to remove these bullets under the alias name. And I told them, no, I'm not doing that, because anything could have happened to me. They could have killed me, and I would have had people calling in to say, well, what happened to Lauren Birch? And they would have easily said, well, we don't have a Lauren Birch, you know. And then I just could have went on to the morgue, you know. But, yeah, they didn't like the fact that I was airing their dirty laundry on the video, which really I was not. I was just telling my story about how I got shot, who I thought, you know, may have been involved, and the reason why nobody had ever contacted me in regards to this shooting. And to this day, I still don't know if the perpetrators have been picked up or if they're still scurrying around the town. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that the investigator did tell me, he said that this guy was from another county and that he was working with the investigator in that county. And that's kind of the end of that conversation. But now I will say this. I've had this smearing, and I don't know if anybody else is going through this, this smearing of brown stuff that looks like it might be crap that they have a tendency to smear on your windows and in your house and in your car, what have you. And I happened to go by the police department because this has done happen to me more often than I care to realize. I went by the police department and I talked to an officer that was sitting in the parking lot one day, and I told him this was what the ongoing situation was. And they're well aware because I've called them out to my house so many times about so many different things. But this particular thing, I spoke with the officer and he says to me, oh, yeah, I remember you from when you got shot. I said, oh, okay. So I tried to move on to the conversation of the reason why I was there to talk to him in the first place. But he proceeded to let me know that, no, you're the one that got shot, but the person who you think shot you is not who shot you. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at him like, how do you know that? And first of all, I didn't address that conversation. You're letting me know something that you know that you don't want me to know, but it slipped out of your mouth. So if you know who didn't shoot me, you must know who did, right?
Right.
So that was my whole point of looking at him like, are you serious right now?
When did the shooting take place?
It happened in October, this past October.
Of 21.
Yes, and I still don't have any further information about my shooting. I believe to this day I was put in, eventually had to go into a wheelchair, but I'm up and trying to do a little bit more walking because I didn't get any physical therapy except for the little bit in the hospital. I believe that I still could walk properly if this device that when I got shot in October was implanted in my leg. I believe that I would be able to walk again, outside of the fact that they say the bullets are still in my legs, but that's not what's bothering me. What is bothering me is the fact that they have implanted me with a device that is causing involuntary movement to my body. And I mean, it's just like somebody put your hands and feet and your head into a socket and turn the switch on and just leave the building. I mean, that's just how I feel 24 hours a day, nonstop, involuntary movement of my body. So that happens also when they have implanted something in my car, which they have done in the previous car that I had, which was a van. And that was a staged accident, or I wouldn't say accident. That was a staged wreck, which caused me total loss of my car. So the same thing that was going on with that van is going on with this car. There is some type of device that's inside that is also reacting to when I get in the car or close to it. So I would think that the device that's implanted with the chips that's been implanted is causing this involuntary movement. But there is not just one thing. There are many things that go with this. Breaking and entering, you know, it's a whole host of things. I wouldn't even know where to start to finish to tell you what all has occurred.
Well, let me ask you, are you a single African-American female?
I'm sorry?
Are you single? What's your status?
I am. Yeah, single, and I live alone.
Because the reason why I asked that is that I find that the common factor with government gang stalking victims is that they're all single, living alone, you know, there's an isolation factor there.
Exactly.
That's where the activities, really gang stalking activities, really flourish, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have children or close family members by, or family close by?
Do Do I have family close by?
Mm-hmm.
I have an uncle, but he's estranged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just me now here in town. I used to take care of my mother and father when they were living. They lived with me in my house. So I believe that's part of the reason why I didn't initially start getting attacked, because I always have had somebody around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm back in my house, both of my parents are deceased, and I know that my mother was killed due in part of this, of what we're going through. I know that for a fact, and I believe that my father and grandmother could possibly have been tortured in the same manner. But, I mean, none of that I can prove, but I can just about tell you with the circumstances and all the surrounding evidence that I have points to her death, her demise being because of gang stalking and torture, as I am. So,
it's funny that you say that because when it happens, you do start to go backwards and you get that, you know, incidents and things in your life. And, you know, you can pinpoint things that you think may have been government gang stalking way back. And as it relates to your family members, I certainly can recall events, you know, like we're dealing with my twin sister who just died last year in May. And even as I think about it and go through and suffer now with gang stalking and torture, I think of my grandmother who used to complain about her hands hurting. And she'd grab her hands and gasped in pain. And I was like, how could that be? Grandmother. And now, as I have had a directed energy attack against my hands, and my hands, I've had to grab my hands in pain, I understand now. I travel back to where my grandmother used to handle pain. And so there are things that we can trace back and see, you know, certain patterns that will develop as we, you know, put the memories in place and see how long these things have been taking place. I find your story about being shocked, for me, that is a shocking type of event. You know, I forgot that I put this show on as a 30-minute podcast, and so I'm going to have to end the show right now before we get cut off. But what I will do, we can come on tomorrow at the same very time at 11 o'clock. I invite you back to Setting the Record Straight broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you next time.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And what is your name? Hello?
Brenda, I will talk to you. We can continue this discussion tomorrow. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you.